Lake Effect continues now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Like most Veterans Administration hospitals and clinics around the country, the Clement J. Zablocki VA Medical Center in Milwaukee sees a majority of male patients. Women make up just a little over 15% of current active and reserve military members across all services and about 10% of the total U.S. veteran population. But especially now that women can and do serve in combat, it's crucial that the VA steps up its services for them.
Milwaukee native Dr. Akira Johnson is only the second director of the Women's Health Initiative at the Zablocki VA, and she offers some perspective on when and why the VA chose to focus more on women's health.
I can speak for Milwaukee for sure. The Women's Clinic has been up and running since, or it's been 9 years, close to 10. So when my predecessor came in, that was the first time Milwaukee had a women's clinic and needed a women's health medical director and someone to orchestrate programs there. Nationwide, I really don't have that number for you, I'm sorry, but I know that there has been a push since then, so for at least a decade, to make most major centers, so we also have CBOX, which are the smaller centers under the major centers, that have most things for women's care, primary care. Some of the specialty things we still have to outsource just because we would need certain numbers to maintain certain things like OB care. You would need an entire service like a NICU, an obstetrician, which our numbers aren't there yet, or mammogram services, but we all have that connected in the community. So even if it's a smaller site, for example, Appleton is a smaller site under Milwaukee, they have a gynecologist or an obstetrician that they outsource to. So we have community partners. But at least for a decade, it's been a push to make sure that women can get most of their primary care things within the VA.
What are some of the challenges you think women face in approaching the VA? Is there still this idea that it really isn't for women?
You know, that is a great question. And though I spent 2 years there during my fellowship, and even the time that I've been back, it still surprises me how many. So I still get new patients. So I am also a primary care provider within the women's clinic. So I only see female veterans. I also supervise residents for internal medicine and physician assistants. And I say that to say, so I get quite a few number of new patients who have never seen me or my trainees. And the surprising question each time is, I can get that here. You all do that here. So PAPs, ordering their mammograms, making sure that they have their osteoporosis screening, hormones, contraception. I mean, it is baffling to me. And I can say it with a smile because I'm excited that I can actually educate them. But across the board, we need to do better. I had a patient who came in for her establishing care, primary care things. And this was we have a wide range of patients. This is very well educated. She's connected out in the community, has private insurance through her employer, but I wanted to utilize the VA. And she was told by our admissions office, so before they get to see me, before they reach the clinic, that she would have to go elsewhere for her pap smears. Routine things that we do. And so, you know, I thought this has to start well before they reach us. They have to understand from the website, when they go online, when they check in, what they're available for. Because had she not said anything to me, she would have assumed I'll just get my pap done with my private insurance. But she just happened to bring it up. Just let me ask just to make sure that's the case. I placed an IUD and the patient's like, well, how much do I owe you? You know, do I have to pay for this? And so, no, this is included in your care. And so there are a lot of misconceptions about what we truly offer and what it means to be a woman and receive primary care. It's not just your female parts, it's everything, but we happen to do some specialty care for your female parts. There's also that piece of, and I probably encounter this part a whole lot more, women that are afraid to be there. It brings up a lot of unfortunate memories. We have a strong MST program and services and mental health support if patients want it, but they have to want to report that. They have to feel safe and secure that if they do report it and receive treatment, that this will still be a safe haven for them. They come from a mindset where, you know, you don't say anything, or if you do, there may be ramifications behind that. I know that there's a national push to stop that. And even if that's not happened, where there's actually been an assault, the culture of just where harassment has been okay. So there's a national push for sexual harassment. VAs nationwide, I'm really excited about. But I have encountered many patients that they were tricked into coming to my visit. When I first experienced that, coming from the private sector, I thought, what do you mean? You know, you have primary care services here and we want to take care of you. You've been out of the system for a while. You're not well mentally and physically, but they were afraid of everything that the VA represents from their military experience. And I mean, a really great success story of a patient I had that ended up doing amazing, but her friend tricked her into coming to the VA, and every terrible thing that happened to her was rekindled at that moment. I mean, we got her set up. It took a lot of work. It took a lot of multidisciplinary action from different services, but that is a common theme. We have a program where women can be assisted. So from the time they reach the door, from the time they're making their appointment, there are volunteers that will help them through, help them walk through the building, usher them to their different appointments. They can go to a women's only. We have a women's resource center that only services women, so they don't have to encounter males at all if that's an issue. But we meet them where they are. But it does start with them knowing that we have that available.
Right. And it sounds like that some of the staff need to know better.
Absolutely.
So it's like internally, you
Absolutely.
Know, in-house stuff needs to actually be brought up to speed as well.
Absolutely.
Those are the first people that a veteran will talk to, is the person answering the phone or the person doing your evaluation to make sure that you qualify and, you know, all of that sort of thing. And if they don't know,
absolutely,
you know,
yeah,
then you're kind of in a place where it's like, well, why would I go there? Yeah.
Exactly. And I truly don't think that happens most of the time when mm-hmm. patients are being set up for new benefits. But some of those examples stand out to me like, no, we need to start back. And so, of course, then I contact my supervisor of a primary care and say, hey, we need to get better at this and make sure that everyone understands what we do for women here. I don't think there's any malicious intent behind it. I just think people don't know and they assume. It's funny when I send out for consults. This is, to me, just a funny story. And my patient's clearly female, but people are so used to writing he. And so I see that in my consult notes and I'm like, come on. But it's routine that they just assume it's a male veteran. And we have a lot of women that we see, a ton, actually.
Do you find that the type of care that the VA has to provide for women has changed now that it's acknowledged that women are in combat as well, that they're actually combat veterans, not simply support staff?
Yeah, I think that that's a great question. And that's absolutely true. So we have to pay special attention to these individuals who are going to be sent for combat, or they're going to be multiple deployments or one deployment, but even specifically their female needs when that's the case, because there are things that their male counterparts would not have to encounter. And it's actually taken a lot of education for my patients to explain to me what the actual circumstances are for them when they're there. And, you know, just small things like hygiene or, you know, having to use the bathroom when there maybe isn't one. And so just knowing that and paying attention to that and making sure that we offer them what's available.
I think one of the things that happens to women when you go, particularly into someplace like Zablocki, which is big, there are so many people walking around at any given time,
yeah,
that oftentimes, particularly older women, I think they feel that they're not actually veterans. You know, they're kind of looked at like, what are you doing here? Why are you here? I think maybe with the younger vets, that's not so much the case because it's so much more of an integrated service. And they've served with men and men have served with them. And so the younger vets don't have the same thing. But I think for a lot of the older, both men and women, you know, seeing women there as patients is a little bit kind of like, well, what do you mean? What are you doing here?
Yeah, and that I agree with you. Again, just having I have a wide spectrum of patients. So from the very young to some of those older patients that you're explaining, and I would agree with you there. I feel like the younger ones, because we do have to do screening with new patients and every year for some things and every few years for other things, just to make sure we're on track with providing them services. And some of those questions come up in how they feel, you know, walking in here and how they feel welcome. And I feel like the younger ones, it's, nope, I feel fine. And the older ones, it's that kind of, exactly what you're saying, that tone. And even if they don't say it directly, again, just because of what's been instilled and what you say and what you don't say, you can tell just from behavior how they answer. And even talking to people when they find out I work at the VA, if they've ever stepped foot in the VA, like you said, Zablocki is huge, it's busy, it's inpatient, it's outpatient, there are a ton of buildings spread out. most people are surprised. I was really surprised when I saw, you know, women who had served back in whatever time, whatever era. And I just assumed there would be men. But no, there were women there in the nursing homes and in the inpatient. I'm like, yeah, yeah, it happened. So it's unfortunate that that disconnect is still there. But as providers and staff and every level who participates in taking care of our veterans, we have to be very well educated and understanding that we don't assume that they're not there as a patient, that we are to serve them as a veteran first and, you know, any other gender specific things, I guess, second to that.
So going forward, what do you see as some of your biggest wishes? What would you like to see in terms of initiatives or, you know, being in the community, that sort of thing?
I think for sure the Women's Clinic is a priority, but I've spoken to, since I've been there, people that who I didn't encounter necessarily when I was there in training, just because I wasn't at an administrative level, that really have a strong interest in collaborating with the Women's Clinic. So I am so excited that they're excited, and that I've spoken with a cardiologist, I've spoken with an ER doctor, just having things from mental health is really good. We actually have a great mental health system, very specific to our women veterans and their needs. But expanding some of those primary care things to their different cardiology specific risk factors for women that sometimes can be overlooked if you're seeing men all the time and women don't fall in that category. But to have someone who's excited and wants to collaborate, we have an ER physician who is really excited and would like to do, she's also integrative medicine fellowship trained, acupuncture and do pain management. And in the ER, you see a lot of pain management, but it's on the acute side, get them stabilized back to their provider. Well, she actually wants to spend time in our clinic and stabilizing these patients and adding adjunct therapies to maybe some of their chronic regimens. So this is, it's really exciting to me to see that collaboration effort. And I think that when we have a space that will open up to where we can do this under one, essentially in one area. But even until then, if I can have this collaboration, that would be great. So I'm really excited about partnering with other specialties in the VA. There's one other specialty that I myself take care of, and that's sexual health and dysfunction. So we already have a partnership with mental health and physical therapy. So there's pelvic floor physical therapy that takes care of a lot of actually male veterans because of prostate issues, but they are available for female veterans too. And having a multidisciplinary team take care of not just MST, so not just women who have had trauma, but actually issues that may happen with age, so menopause-related things, hormone-related things, but some things that are in our younger population too, but they didn't know they could bring it up and talk to their provider about it. So I started that when I was in fellowship, actually, and I'm really excited to expand that and teach future fellows so that is something that can continue at the VA. I don't think there are any other VAs doing that, so it's really exciting that there's interest, and we have a multidisciplinary team that is actually committed to providing that service to our veterans.
Dr. Akira Johnson, first of all, welcome, kind of a belated welcome into this new position.
Thank you.
But we're very glad to have you here, and thank you so much for talking with
us today.
Thank
you. It's been a pleasure.
Dr. Akira Johnson is Women's Health Medical Director at the Zablocki VA Medical Center in Milwaukee.